produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, Saints. Hope you are well. Let me remind you again, in case you are full of hopelessness and despair, the Lord is good. The Lord is great. The Lord is gracious. He's faithful. He's merciful. Praise Jesus. He loves you beyond your understanding. He loves you even when you are not convinced that God is still right there by your side. Praise Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name. Oh, mighty man of all, praise Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who restores us, he will rebuild us, oh God, thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be worshipped, he's worthy to be praised, thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Daddy. There is absolutely none like you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to tap into this worship. Ooh-wee. I'm overwhelmed by your presence, oh God. Who can stand before you, oh God? Unless they have clean hands and a pure heart, oh Lord. We lift your name, we lift your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There's nowhere to hide, there's nowhere to go, and there is no way we can just turn against our God. Praise Jesus. He's the only one who can fix things. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. If things do not go the way you have planned or isn't, or you have been praying for years and years and years, uzibuze imibuzo, uti why is this not happening? I want to encourage you. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 17 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Mbonge, mbonge, mphefumulo wam, khawumbonge uJesu. Mororise, mudimi asahlolenkeletho, mudimi alerato, mudimi amosa. When you pray without ceasing, God is busy. Yesterday I said from the book of Isaiah, he is penetrating the camps of the enemy on your behalf. He's doing it. Thank you, Jesus. I read Isaiah 33. Praise you, Jesus. And then he comes like a mighty ship. Praise you, Jesus. And what he does, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He's the one controlling the radar. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one saying, manje seguzo saila mina. Babonila bantwana bamba saila. Ngama ships, ngama boat. Praise Jesus. And somehow they were drowning. They were drowning. They were drowning. But basugume futhi bathatha ama oars. Thank you, Jesus. Trying to push this thing. Trying to push it. Going on the other side. I can see ukuthi namaphupho wakho uyaphupha mhlawumbe ukuthi uyagijima kodwa awufiki lapho. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord is saying, I must tell you today, He has seen the injustices in your life. The Lord has witnessed your pain. The Lord has witnessed your struggle, your frustration, your scorns. People have been scorning you, but you can't go and and mocking you. Lo muntu uyakhuleka, lo muntu uyathandaza kodwa hayi. Impilo yakhe ayifiki. Lalela la. God is saying, now I'm taking charge. I'm that mighty ship in the book of Isaiah 33. I'm sailing. You know what? I'm pushing this thing for wena. Awudingeki namandla mina ngiyamuva on your behalf, praise Jesus. I'm penetrating the camps of the enemy for you. Forget about those oars. Bengivumile vele ukuthi uzisebenzisise. Excuse me. Bengivumile vele ukuthi you must use those oars. Masokwana ao. Ha ntso uli ka hara sikepe na sa usa hao. Modimo rene ke dumela vele hore o a sebedise hore o tlo tia in character o tlo tseba hore he emane. Ha ke hlolwa hona le motho, praise Jesus. Ha ke hlolwa hona le motho, khosi ya dikhosi, praise Jesus. So ke dumeletse uri di entse. Why pray without ceasing? Why pray without ceasing? It's because I wanted you to see hore one shoka. I want to appreciate you, my son, my daughter, for praying even when you didn't see anything. I want to appreciate you, my daughter, my son, for pushing even if you didn't see anything. For me, now it was me building your character. Remember the scripture that says, for character, you know, for suffering brings patience. For patience which builds character. Character which leads to hope. Hope which doesn't disappoint. Praise you, Jesus. So Uncle Nkulu was saying, Mina, when there are no benefits for your journey. There are benefits. Praise you, Jesus. You thought you can go to other people and ask for imvela piyako. Ubabuza kutu ya gupi. Lalela lana, mina ngunkulu nkulu. Senya akjela na mtlanje ngiti. Sekupelili sisiwe. Mina dala, ngibuga, injustice. I want you to read Isaiah 21. Unkulu nkulu ya kuluma nagu Isaiah 21. Dale luge kuluma na mga le scripture. And I didn't understand. But God is saying to you today, I've seen the injustices, but I want you to know that I'm about to give you justice, and I'm giving your enemies judgment. I'm giving your enemies judgment. No one else will help you to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give them judgment. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Here comes the mighty ship. There is no effort from your side. Ukhulekile, ukwenzile konke. Unkulunkulu athi qhubeka wena, pray without ceasing, but this battle is not yours. Ngeke ukwazi ukuyinqoba le battle, yimi kuphela engizokunqobela yona. Wena phusha, uyanqoba, igama lakho umanqoba. Praise you, Jesus, nyukupha amandla. Hey, praise you, Jesus. Modimo are ko rwesitse matla. Hallelujah. So ke batla go khothatsa today. Ke batla go khothatsa today. Ubuhlukuru obatla msebetsi sa uthole. Ubuhlukuru obatla lenyalo sa lethole. Ubuhlukuru wa kopantsa nkare ka ntlo, nkare ka koloi, nkare ka etsa soko heso, nkare tsa ho sa kopana. Ubuhluku ke injustice at least sankie mobe. Ubuhlukuru obe pregnant ka wealth, obe pregnant ka nthotsenga tabophelong ba opathe disabi teng. Hona le prophecies to them but o sa pepi ngwana wa hao. Ntate Mdumare ke bone pregnancy e tlileng as a result of nna. Ko rwesitse dintho. Or before you were born, I already knew you. Praise Jesus. Modimo are bona. Nna se ke le teng ka sebele. Praise Jesus. Ke a o lokisetsa jano. Para ko lokisetsa. Glory ha e tla ho nna. Ke qala pele ko lokisetsa ka hore ko bontse justice ho bao ba ileng ba o etsa hampe. Hey. ba o yentse hampe ba bona mpho ya hao ba bona hore o tla ba bothata maphelong a bona ba o yetsa hampe but ke re nna ke tla restore go the book of Joel tso hle tsenkileng ho wena ke tla di restore in the name of Jesus ka matla ibileng le ka quality hallelujah di locust tseo di kenka wa mtseo di great army tseo tse tlileng di hanka di a inkela fela di a invade icho jo le sa 21 ba kena ba invade ba inkela ntate mo di mare ke tla restore ngwanaka ke di bone di keledi tsao wa iputsa re wetsa halam ke batla o jotsa re vele ke buloi in the spirit onketswe in the spirit ba re mo di mare ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ene ke batla gore o qale o bue ke batla o bue o be ngwana wa ka o tla bua mantse a positive mantse a power ara didn't give you a spirit of fear go feel the spirit of love power and a sound mind Ooh, Erike blessed, ki delivered, ki delivered. I'm sanctified, I'm redeemed, I'm restored, I'm the child of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, bua dintho tseo, tibue, tibue. O ska dumela motho a bue ka wena, but wena o sa bua. Wa nkutlwa re kereng. So Isaiah chapter 33 kopa o e bale nka se kgone o e bala today but ke re wena e bale because modimo wa bua mo ene le ko chapter 60 o le a bua le rona modimo I think it was in verse 5 a ke sa bue maaka a re ha o se o bona se ke setsang you look and be radiant o tla ba radiant sefahlego sa o se tla phaphama gobane o phaphama jwang pele wa utlwile bohloko moya wa o robegile modimo a re your heart will throb and swell with joy imagine a pelo ele ya hao e ke bileng ka yona maobane ko Isaiah 21 hore pelo ya hao ha ebe in the heart's king in the king of God's hands ha ebe mo and so that you are able to God is able to take your heart to the direction I batla. O bone manene wetse matsonga mangata, babamba professor, babamba itsang, tate mdima re tlakwana ngwanaka. Wena kere your heart will swell, will throb and swell with joy. Imagine a pelo ya iruruga, Isaiah chapter 60 verse 5, irurugiswa gore modimo sa wentse hantle. E sa hlelo rurugiswa ke bohloko. Bona modimo remove poison, ke season e ke buang ka yona. Naonache, Murimu is doing a great thing in your life. Kia ujweza, the beneficiaries sita lefala hao. Base baemi, Murimu saba beile are. Kiba oba naba hao. Kiba oba naba oba tsweti moyeng, liba oba tsweti na menge. Kiba o your family members. Baile nguhore ba struggle today because of your situation. Ooh, Murimu is restoring you. Murimu is restoring you. Wena rapela, rapela. Don't stop. Don't stop. In Jesus' name, I love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name, may the Lord hide you under his blood. May you stay in his secret pavilion. I cover you with Psalm 91. You are blessed. Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is mighty. Hallelujah. He's gracious. Is great, praise Jesus. Who can be compared to this God that we serve? Remember, from the previous days, we've been talking about his promises that are yes and amen. When he said he will do it, when he says and when he said he will do something, he certainly did and he will certainly do it. Praise Jesus. And today, I just want to remind you of the fruit of the Spirit. Yesterday, we touched base on patience and forgiveness to say, growth in the kingdom of God is not based on the knowledge of the world, but there are principles, you know, there are methodologies. The methodologies, they are being, you know, conducted by the Holy Spirit. Praise Jesus. Jesus being the center of it all. Praise Jesus. So what happens? You need to understand who are you and why are you pursuing God? If you don't understand who are you and why are you pursuing God, then you'll find yourself following any other king. Hallelujah. You'll follow any other king, especially when you see where things are not going according to your expectations. You'll say, why has the Lord forsaken me? Why is God taking care of certain individuals? But why is God not saying anything to me? That is a voice of someone who says, I mean a man, so siyakhathala ngoba singena relationship noNkulunkulu Praise you, Jesus. So I want to talk to you today. Who is leading your paths? Praise you, Jesus. Who is your Jehovah Rohi? Who is your shepherd? Hallelujah. You know, when you read the book of Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says the heart of the king is in God's hands. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. It means the heart of a king is a sandlen sakankulunkulu. When a person wants to know which direction I ought to take, what must I say? What must I do in these challenging seasons? Then this person begins to see God moving, you know, before them. Praise you, Jesus. But God cannot do that if inhliziyo zethu singavumi. I want to challenge you today. Uzamile konke. Uzamile konke. May the Lord be the one who's going to lead you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can say that to the Lord and say, Lord, ngikunikeza inhliziyo yami. Ungihole. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Uthi, my heart is so stretched. My heart is bruised. Ngilimele, Nkosi yami, ngilimele. Kodwa ngiyakudinga. Thank you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. He is the lover of your soul. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. Gore le wena o ipotse dipotso pele ya ka e holwa ke mang. Ntotse ke dietsang ka fela ke mang o mphushetsang ko tsona. I'm saying this because in these perilous times, in these difficult times when the economy is speaking, you know, hopelessness. The economy is also a principality. It's saying to us, now I'm going to take a downturn for a long period. And when it takes an upswing, I don't know. Maybe when we are talking about death, no, I'm talking about spiritual death, where your faith would have been challenged to such an extent that you follow other gods. You know, I was just reflecting this morning, and this is what was led in my spirit. In these difficult times, when the scripture says the love of many shall grow cold, it means people would have started with God. You can't say ke rata Modimo o sa rate batho ba gae. You can't say o rate batho but o rate Modimo. So when your love grows cold, it means you started with what? With God. You removed, you know, yourself from the plug. Because when you are connected to the plug, a gona taba gore go etsa galang around you, but the plug gives you, the electricity gives you this ability to strive, you know, against all odds. Remember, Maban Rite, the joy of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And we say, his ability, praise you, Jesus. So his abilities can only be measured through the interaction with his Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. So, Utabona, what I'm talking about, many people will turn to other gods. And talk of lele gore what are other gods? Satanism. I'm going to mention it. People will be so cruel, so jealous, so angry. You know, when you are angry, when you are jealous, all those things, dear tank, the fruit of the flesh, and the enemy will come. Atolor uturin tota high. I'll bless him more and more and more. Be careful. Then I'll bless her more. That's why Modimo are in the last days, knowledge yaka, it la increase, it cover the earth as the water covers the seas. Knowledge yaka, nakita wikin tite nete, marka tibore. Darkness, wabona ichoko Isaiah 60. See, darkness and thick darkness covers the earth and it covers the people. Hey, but my glory rises. So, kina ko sentiri prepare kwa yona, ube careful hore ukokale mang ingi, ube careful hore ure manga urapelise ingi, ube careful hore, you know, ulela kai, uko wipu tole mwana mutimu, uko utsibe yo altar hore, kirapela kwa kai, kibuwa le mang, uweza ala ingi. Kabane, sometimes people that you think they will be listening to your conversations, but la dinka,
Barches says, Utlar u dream and check an anchor. Lankutla Kerembahites. Diabo in the body of Christ, Diabo, Ripilamona Kungetata, Ripilamona Kungalore, Ritanta Ritibor, Kiman Kosia, Kosi Moreno, Amarena, Ritibor, Rikopa Mang, Ritamale Mang, here, Sevilleta Mang, and Ritama, hey, praise you, Jesus. So, Piluya, how I see plucked in the Holy Spirit, Kaublella. Kaujeta, pilot lotama e jumpa jumpa jumpa, matsoho ka matso a mefuta futa, amang matso a shebahala akare a warm. And wena ha o tsebo e malotso go leng kagale le mofutu ka nteke le tso lona le letlo pressam pilo ya hao le tetebatse pilo ya hao o thole se tetebane se tletse o ipotsa re wetsa lamba thunga ke mo painting wetsa lang kanti he e mapelo ya hao we feel matso a wrong. So my best advice ke re ifa pilo ya hao Modimo ha ibe mo matsong a Modimo ibe yena etsang a itsamaisang wa gona utlwa ka re pelo ya ka re ba heavy a etseng a tlose boima bona hallelujah a utlwa ka re pelo ya ha o ka re ya ruruga Modimo a etseng a gutsetse back a re ngwana ka bona be still and know that I'm God. Hey man, be still and know that I'm God. Praise you, Jesus. Modimo a bona ka re pelo ya ba tlo jumpa jumpa o ka re ba tlo mosia a re bona the devil is like a roaring lion, you know, he's looking for someone to devour. O ska jumpa out of my hand, stand still, stand still. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, there are times when you feel like, you know, my heart is so cold. My heart is so cold, Daddy. My heart is so cold. Why am I not loved? Why is there no one coming across my path? Why is no one saying I want to marry you? Why is no one saying I yes to my proposal, or can I marry you? Why didn't Totaka di Saka Sakana? Why when I tried to be stable in relationships, didn't you say Sama and Tatimdiwa, Tlakwano, Tlakwano, be still and know that I'm God. Tlakwano, Tlakwano, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Ulibeti, the height, the depth, the width, hey, the length of my love. Ukaskonui mejara, that's how much I love you. Kurata lao sanrate, kaukurata lao ntibeti, naki dule mole 24/7. My eyes are working to moving to and fro. Go shebile ke rengwana ka kiole. Haka atla fela. I'm watching you day and night. Le ge ba gotlisa botlhoko bona batho ba o ba rengwana ba rata. Nna ngwana ka ke o rata o fitisisa. So ke batla o jetsa today. Whatever is in your house right now. Ona gana gore ha ona yona. Kopo yo ko moratuo wa hao Jesu. Jesu ke moratuo wa hao. O re ke kopa ong fe provision. Ke kopa ntshongwe lengwe ikopang. Ha ona kutsa winter how na di aparo tsa winter how na enough furniture how na eng bona nthengwe lengwe sna nyona a ke go di tlwaela mo lefatsheng so ke mang o re tshwantse o emele wena ha di nthodi le right di kopane how na ntho tshwantse kopane ke Jesu a kopantsang or I'm the way and the truth and the life. Praise you, Jesus. I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. It means bona in my Father's house there are many mansions. Nthengwe lengwe e batlang e tla ho nna. Praise you, Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you greater things that you never knew of. Ungakali, ungakivapi. Whether you are tormented, kwenzakala empilweni yakho, mina nguNkulunkulu ngizolungisa. Woza kimi ngane yami, khalela kimi ngane yami. Ngibonile konke, ngibonile injustice, yothando empilweni yakho. Ngibonile ukuthi ufile ngathi wena you are not worth it, but I'm telling you, in you feeling unworthy, mina ngunkulunkulu ngiyakubona uyazibuza ukuthi abantu abakhuthazi abantu bakushiye unjalo abantu kwenzakalani. You've got so many questions. God says be still, hey, be still and know that I'm God. Be silent ngoba what I'm about to do, it's beyond your human comprehension. Nkulunkulu says to you today, ngiyakuthanda, I've loved with an everlasting love. Aurata mwanaka, ntsepe, 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 ntsepe. Hallelujah. Pina ire, kina ya letsware lang, kina ya lifurisang. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Kina ya letsware lang. Murimu tla utswarele. Hano sete mebi pilu ay jampile kene matonga wrong. Murimu kina ya lifurisang. Murimu tla ufurisa. Don't worry. bomme ba leng platformong le sekabela tshwenyega gore bana ba lona ba ko kae ba le lebetse ke re ba bang le ba godisitse spiritually ba bang le ba godisitse in the biological manner ba bang ke bana ba moyeng praise Jesus hona le bomme hona le bontate mona hona le bana mona hona le ba ausi mona hona le ba buti mona ke batla o jotsa ke re modimo o teng o re ko jotsa today o re se mo sa hao a se motshose o fitisitse batho ba bangata ba le mo seemong se ba sena next ntate modimo ba etsa hantle ke kopa hore o morate tonight o kope fela tshwarelo modimo kopa tshwarelo o doubta and o tla mmona o tlo etsetsa mohlolo I love you and I appreciate you stay blessed.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jerzy Lair. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They pay and plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the Word of God. And who is the Word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the Word become a flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, I am the life. But again, in John, he says, I am the bread of life. That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So another way, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the weight that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. And then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual thirst that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is. so that we do not test for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to bring things that reveal our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our test for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think that now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We've got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we've got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we've got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and said, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen, to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions We launched into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with lookalike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Brethren in Christ, we are thankful for this time to share the word with you. God is good, and He is faithful. Regardless of our actions and our unfaithfulness, God is faithful. God remains faithful always, and let us look for God while He still can be found, not when it's too late. Giving opinions about salvation and following teachings of people who have completely lost the mark. Let us continue the gathering of the saints. Where we encourage each other in the ways of the Lord and discourage each other of that is grieving unto the Holy Spirit. As coal, when coal is on, or hot coals are on fire, and you separate one from the other, bunch of coals that are on fire, the isolated coal is soon to run out of heat, and it will eventually, not really eventually as per se, but will not so long time to come, be cold and useless until it is put together with other coals in the fire. In the same way with ourselves, believers in Christ. There's no believer who is that strong in the spirit. that they are beyond meeting and gathering with other saints. God has not designed us or created us in that way. So let's not neglect to meet each other and to reflect on the ways of the Lord and to encourage each other in the ways of the Lord and to also help those who are lost, who seek the Lord, not those who try to challenge the ways of the Lord. Obviously, they are not chosen for salvation, but for those who let's thrive and strive and labor for those who the Lord has chosen for salvation. And speaking of salvation, the Bible is very clear concerning salvation. Not these new teachings that there are many ways to Christ or the many ways to the Father. He that rejects the Son shall not see the Father. If you do not receive Christ, you shall certainly not receive the Father. Remember, students, without that permit to write your exam, regardless of having the idea or the knowledge to write the exam, you will not be permitted to write the examination or enter into the exam room without that permit to write your examination. Those who are drivers, you know that by law, you are not allowed to operate any form of vehicle if you are not licensed for it. Even though I may be licensed to drive a car, but I'm not licensed to ride a motorcycle. Yes, I understand the traffic signs and traffic rules, but unfortunately, I am not certified or qualified to operate a motorcycle, even though I have obtained a driver's license concerning or in the code of driving a car with four wheels. In the very same way, we hear many questions of people asking that, what about people who do great charitable deeds, give to the poor, give donations unto churches and, you know, build churches for that fact and all that. And I mean, put people before themselves, but have not accepted Christ. Are they going to heaven? It's simple. They're not going to go to heaven because they've not accepted the Son. I love an example that a man of God once used. He said, if you place a new car, a brand new car with a V8 engine in the middle of the veld, and it's full of fuel and is ready to move. If you place it at the veld, but don't have the key to ignite the engine of the car, it's useless. All that power is null and void because you don't have that specific key. You don't have the key to operate this vehicle. In the very same way, it's futile. It's in vain. When you do good deeds and you expect the Lord to understand, listen, this thing of God understands your heart. It's not a biblical term. Do you accept Christ? He that accepts the Son shall see the Lord. Heaven is yours. God doesn't understand your heart. Salvation, salvation. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what God understands. In the very same way, with those who are into credit scores and loans or car financing or home loans. You may accumulate a lot of money every month, but if it's not recorded in your bank account as in a proof of a bank statement, it's null and void. They don't trust you. It is useless. On what basis do they begin to even venture in business with you? In the very same way, you may do all these great deeds. You may be a Robin Hood in your neighborhood. But if you don't accept Christ, and not that I advocate stealing to give to people, let's just say a hero to the people. You may give from your own proceeds, legally so. If you fail to accept the Lord Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, it is all in vain. It is in vain. Look at the example. I think the example of the bank account is the most simplest out of them all, because we all understand money in that regard. Bank statement is the only way the bank can see that you are credible for business of getting a home loan or getting car financing or getting a personal loan or even applying for a credit card or something of sort, or even a cell phone contract. And the list goes on and on. Without that bank statement, let's use Christ as a bank statement. Without the bank statement, which is Christ, they're not interested in you. They don't trust you. Now, in the very same way, you may make millions and millions of rands, euros, dollars, pounds, and all these other currencies. But, I mean, if it's not, if it does not reflect in your bank statement, it's null and void. In the very same way, you can do, or you may do all that you can do in the name of goodwill and in the name of a kind-hearted nature, but then if Christ is not in it, if Christ is not Lord and Savior of your life, it is all in vain. Those of you that understand cars, the engine is very complex, or complicated actually. There is a specific thing when it goes, however small it may be, that engine will not crank. You may have placed all these huge parts of the engine together and assembled them accordingly, and your timing belt be programmed or set according to the car modification or model. But then if there is a specific thing that's missing in that engine, you are going to try and attempt to crank the engine in vain. In that very same way, you can do all these things, but if you fail to accept Christ, it is all in vain. You are going to hell. You are going to hell. So you know people who believe that there are many ways to God are really troubled. They're so much in deep hot water. Unless they repent, they are destined for hell. The Bible is very clear. The Word of God is very clear. If you don't accept the one that sent him, if you don't accept the one whom he sent, how do you accept the one whom you don't see with your own eyes? It says in the Bible, which is the Lord Jesus. Whether you like it or not, if you reject Christ, trust me, you
as well shall be rejected on Judgment Day. People may have their own ideas of inner peace, of what is the way and which is the way to worship, and whom to worship. But in all that man-made opinion, the truth still stands. If you do not accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are going to hell. I remember when this famous politician died, or former president died, and people were convinced that he's going to heaven just based on his struggles and what he did for charities. But the truth of the matter is, he was once asked about eternity, and he said, there is nothing of any sort. When one dies, they'll go through that phase, or not even phase, they'll go through the other side of life as if you are in that deep sleep where you don't dream of anything, where you're not dreaming about anything, you're just in a deep sleep. That was his perception of eternity. So obviously he's in trouble if he did not accept Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. People have many ideas. People believe that you can serve God and ancestors, but God is a jealous God. You can serve God and idols, but God is a jealous God. He doesn't share in his glory. You accept Christ, the Lamb, whom he sent to die for our sins, then you'll be saved. Not these other opinions from some public figures who say Christ cannot be the only way. But you see, okay, let me take it easy. Let me slow down. When you meet people who blatantly curse the name of Christ, remember one thing: they are not chosen for salvation. Whether we like it or not, there is a child that's going to be born today or tomorrow, whom when they die, they're going to go straight to hell. Because God has not chosen them for salvation. And I'm not saying die as a baby. Die and live to be that age where you can take your own decisions. But God's not making sense, because God has not chosen them. They're going to go to hell. Not that God doesn't love people, but he chooses you for salvation. Let's be real believers in Christ. You suffer in the name of Christ, or for Christ's sake, and you still continue to serve him in excellence. Is that by your own doing, or is it by his Spirit that you're able to continue in the ways of righteousness and godliness? A man of God once used an example of his life, a painful life experience, that one of his offsprings died after for the offspring, or for his offspring, laid the offspring on his bosom, spoke the protection of God upon the offspring, just to die 2 days later. And he used another example. Oh, by the way, he is still in the ways of the Lord and loves the Lord like nobody's business. And uses another example of this other person who used to be a man of God and a man of truth. the child was ill. So he prayed for the child and had faith that the child would be healed. And guess what? The child died. And that was a turning point of his life for the worse. He said, "The God of the white man does not answer prayer. The God of the white man does not exist." And therefore he embarked on opening up a cult. The cult is something massive in numbers and is really causing a lot of harm. So between these two people, I mean, both have faced tragic events of their lives. The pain of losing a child. And not just losing a child, but praying. But the child still given over to death. One was chosen for salvation, whereas the other wasn't. The other one decided to choose it for themselves. Then there's this lady who is a wife to, or is a missionary and a wife to a respectable man of God. Their child, their first child, was ill. And as ill as the child was, they had faith in God that the child would be healed. But the child died during a church service. Just like that. I mean, church, that's where you expect where there was life, there was the power of God, but the child died in the church premises. The baby died in the church premises. But guess what? You're talking over 18 years later. They still serve the Lord. They still love the Lord. Through God's grace, the other children are alive after the very first one. Tell me, did they choose salvation or did salvation choose them? When some people oppose Christ and the ways of God, don't be quick to curse at them or to judge them. They are not chosen for salvation. Let's read some few words of scripture before I... And I'd like to read from the book of Ephesians 2, verse 8. It reads as follows. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation." Let us open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 reads as follows. "He made Christ who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God." Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts 16 verse 13. Acts 16 verse 30 reads as follows. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." John 5 verse 24 reads as follows. "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the person who hears my word believes and trusts in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment and condemnation, but has passed from death into life." And Matthew 9 verse 6 to 8. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the in the earth to forgive sins." Be encouraged, believers in Christ. Don't be deceived. Christ is the only way to the Father. Without Christ, there is no access to the Father or eternal life. God bless you. Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chi Kotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Today I want us to remind one another that we serve a mighty God, able God, unfailing God, and never-changing God. Our topic for today says, we serve God who never changes. When we read the word of God in Malachi 3, verse 6, it says that he is God, he does not change. We are living in the days where our enemy is trying on a daily basis to make a statement, that God has changed. But I want us to remind one another that God has not changed. He is still mighty. God is still able. God is still unfailing. God is still faithful. And he is still that God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. He's still the same God, the one who delivered his people before. He is the same God even in our generation. From the beginning of the time, God has not changed. Time changes, season changes, circumstances changes, people changes. The economy changes, but God remains the same. When we read Hebrews 18, verse 8, the word of God says he is the same yesterday. God is the same today. And God is still the same even forevermore. And I want us to remember this today, that even the challenges that we are facing, it does not mean that God has changed. He is still the same God. He is still able to deliver us. He is still able to save us. He is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask him for. I want us to remember that God is still God. Sometimes when things we don't understand what's happening in our lives, we begin to wonder if God is still with us. And I want us to remember today that God is still with us. We must not have, we must not doubt that he is still with us. We must not have fear of tomorrow, of fear of the challenges that we faced with. We must remember all the time that God is still God and he is a powerful God. When we read Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17, the word of God says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, everything we need to remember that exists because of God. We are nothing without Him. In Him, the Word of God says, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. So whatsoever things that are happening, even in our days, we need to remember and still trust that God, He is still God, and He has never changed. There are so many things that are happening in our lives on daily basis, but whatsoever situation that you find yourself in, whatever challenge that you are faced with, do not forget that God is still the same God. He promised us in His word that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Whenever we go through deep waters, in Isaiah 43, He says when we go through deep waters, the waters will not overwhelm us. And we trust God, even if when situations around us, they want to prove otherwise. Let us continue to trust God, because God is a faithful God even in our days. And the word of God, when it carries on in Colossians 1:16-17, it says all things were created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creations together, meaning that God is in control. He is control of the heavens. He is in the control on the earth. He is in control above all other things. So whenever we go through difficult times, let us not forget that God, He is still an able God. Let us not forget that God is still able even in our days. The word of God says that God is able and nothing is impossible with Him. When you read the word of God in Luke 1:37, it says that everything with God is impossible. Sometimes our situation may seem to be impossible to us, but with God, there's nothing that is impossible with Him. He is still able to set us free. He is still able to save us. He is still able to come through for us. He is still God who's able to make a way. Like He said in Isaiah 43:19, He is still God who can make a way in the wilderness. He is still God who can create rivers in the desert. He is still God who is unfailing. He is still God who is able to do things that we expect Him to do. God still delivers even in our days. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful Father. He is still the same God who keeps His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let us continue to trust God. Let us continue to trust God like Job did. When we read the word of God about Job, I have found that Job has trusted God through difficult times that he was faced with in his life. There are seasons that came into the Job's life, but I found that Job has been a man who trusts God, who trusted God no matter what. There are times that came, the times that some of us were not going to be able to stand, but Job trusted God irrespective of what every situation he found himself in. And when we read the word of God, it tells us so much about him, and there are so many things and so many events that has happened in his life. But through it all, he remained firm, trusting in God. He trusted God when things were making sense in his life, and when things when they were not making sense in his life. Job refused to give up. Job refused to give in. Job continuously trusted God. There was a time where Job said, "My Redeemer liveth." And at the time when he was going through difficult times, he said, "My Redeemer lives." Not because everything was going perfect in his life, not because things were going perfect in his world, but because he trusted God irrespective of the situation he found himself in. When we read Psalms 125, the word of God reminds us that those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. Trust are as secure as Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. We need to trust God even in our days. There is so much that is happening in our own world. There are challenges that we are faced with. It might be a marital challenge. It might be children. It might be at work. It might be wherever that you live on daily basis. We are faced with different challenges. But in all challenges that we go through, we need to remind ourselves now and then to trust in the Lord. Because the thing that when challenges come, and then we want now to forget, when challenges come, they come as if they want us to forget that we are serving a mighty God. Let us not forget that we are serving a powerful God who is still able to save us even in our time. The challenges and difficult times that we are facing, we need to hold on and trust in God. We need to hold on and do not let anything else to take away that kind of the relationship that you have between yourself and God. Like Job did, Job trusted in God. He trusted in God when things were going perfect in his life. He trusted in God when everything else around him was falling apart. But Job continuously trusted in God. He trusted in God when he received the news, when he received the bad news that all of his children died. Job still continued trusting in God. When Job heard all these bad reports, when we read Job 1, verse 20 to 21, the word of God says that we see how he reacted. When he received the bad report about his children, when he received a bad report about his employees, when he received a bad report, Job, instead of reacting in another way, instead of blaming God, instead of questioning God, instead of asking God why, he took the time and his immediate reaction was to worship God first. So we need to learn that whenever we go through difficult times, let us not tend to think that God has left us, because God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The word of God in Numbers says that he is not a man that he should lie, and he's not a son of man to change his mind. So times changes and seasons changes and things are happening in our lives, but God remains the same. He is still faithful and God can be trusted. He can be trusted to keep all his promises. God can be trusted even if situations seem as if God will never come through for us, but we need to believe that God is gonna come through for us. The word of God in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it tells us that God is faithful. He keeps all his promises. The word of God says, for all the promises of God are yes and they are amen. All the promises of God are yes in Christ, and so through him, the promises of God are amen. And we need to trust all his promises, everything that he has spoken on his word over our lives. We need to trust that if God has said something, he's not going to change. He is in control. Things will come into our lives, they will pass, but God will never change and he remains the same. He's unchanging. We need to trust God like Job did whenever he was faced with a difficult time. There is so much that happened. His wife said to him, he must curse God. But Job, because he knew the relationship that he had with God, he never cursed God, because he trusted God on God's mighty power. We need to trust in God's abilities. We need to trust that God is able. We need to trust that God can deliver us. We need to trust that God, he can still come through for us even in our day and time. And we need to see him as a powerful God. We need to trust that even if the things are not going the way we are expecting them to go, but God is going to come through for us. And we need to trust in the Lord and trust in his mighty power and trust in that God, he is able and God will never change. He is an unfailing God. We have seen God coming through for Paul and Silas. in time that was difficult, and when they were beaten and thrown into a cell room, the word of God tells us that instead of them looking at the pain and looking at the things that they were going through, they chose to rather praise God. They chose to rather focus on God. They chose to rather praise and worship God. Things that come through into our life, let us not allow them to take our focus away from God. Like David says in Psalms 121, that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills where my help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord. Let us also remind ourselves whenever we go and we face difficult times and challenges in our lives, let us remember to focus on God and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us not allow the enemy to take control. Let us not give him a room. Let us not allow him whisper in our spirit. Let us not allow him to change us. Let us not allow him to tell us that God will not come through for us. In every situation that you find yourself in today, believe that God's supernatural power, God's power is able to reach you where you are. You don't have to go out and east, west, and start seeking for help. All we need to do, like the days of the old, we just need to kneel down and call upon the name of the living God and call upon him who is able to hear us. When we read Psalms 91, it tells us that whenever we call upon him, he will answer. He said that when we call him, he will answer, he will honor us, and he will deliver us. And the very same God who delivered the children of Israel, he is the same God who delivers even in our day and age. We should trust him no matter what comes our way. Let us not waver. Let us not allow the enemy to make us think that God is unable, to make us think that God cannot reach out to us, to make us think that God cannot come through for us. Let us trust God, even if situations may seem like, even if situations seem like impossible situations, but let us trust that God is an able God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Our God is a faithful God all the time. He is not a man that he should lie or to change. Whatever that God has spoken over your life, whatever that God has promised over your life, it will come to pass. The word of God, when we read it, it says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. At times we don't understand the way he does things. We don't understand the way he controls things. We don't understand the way he wants to do things. But we should trust that God knows what is best for us. We should trust that God knows what is best for us all the time. God above each and everything, above us, above everyone living around us, it's only God who knows what is best for us. And he also knows a right time for us to receive that which we are asking him for and we are hoping for. And sometimes because of that, we become so frustrated because God is not responding at the time that we are looking, we are expecting him to respond. But even if God may delay, even if God may not give you an immediate answer, do not doubt. Stand firm on your ground. Stand firm on faith. Believe, have faith and trust God and believe him and believe him and believe him and believe that he will come through for you at his right time. At times what frustrates us is expecting God to respond in a certain time, in certain ways.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Napa Know
How. Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.